How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week. Let's bring in Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter. Free and easy to do. He's with WNML, the sports animal. He'll be on the afternoon show this week there in Knoxville. Vinny, how you doing?
Good, guys. We had a sports-filled weekend, as good as we've had in a long time. So that was a very good thing, and enjoyed watching the Preds, although it didn't work out. Great job by Willie, as usual, on the broadcast. So, yeah, it was a fun sports weekend. Hope you guys had a good one, too.
Yeah, I don't really think sports fans should get on here and complain about this weekend. I mean, we finally had a lot of options. A lot of things to check out from sun up to sundown, actually, till, you know, basically the minute, every waking minute, right? From as long as you were up,
right. You
could watch a live sporting event, which was really cool.
Yeah, and even if you couldn't watch it live, that's live. And then if you DVR'd some things or if you missed something while there was some overlap, the other hours that wasn't live, you can go back and catch up those times. You can literally go 24/7. And then today with what? Six NHL playoff games, it keeps going. So, yeah, the complaint department is closed for me.
What do you make of all the conference announcements last week? Everybody trying to figure out how this season's schedule is going to look.
Well, really interesting for the SEC, and obviously there was the possibility that the ACC, Big 12, and SEC would work together for that plus one model, but the, you know, these Power Five conferences, even though a lot of times we think they're going to work together, they seem to always prove us that they're going to do what's best for them. And the ACC, they were the next up, and they made their announcement on their format. And then what the SEC announces doesn't work for the ACC. And the SEC has kind of gone on this roller coaster on where they were. First, there was talk of SEC only. Then you saw a bunch of reports that no way they're going to go that direction. They'll just look at a 8-game plus one. They'll never play as many games as everyone else, on and on. And then it comes back that they do conference only. And now the ACC has to change their plan that they already came up with because of that, not having those four in-state rivals against SEC teams. And, you know, we'll see what the Big 12 ends up doing. I'm guessing that unless they partner up with the ACC, that they'll do either a 9-game conference only, or they'll do a plus one with someone geographically that has similar protocol for COVID. So, you know, the SEC was the big one. That's the one that sent ripples across college football. Now it's a matter of trying to figure out how they're going to do it. And, you know, we'll see when we find out about that.
I know Philip Fulmer was on your afternoon show, had some interesting things to say. What did he say on the Sports Animal?
Well, he said a lot of, just on that topic, though, I'll start there. he mentioned that he was asked about the different models, things like that, and he said that the 2021 and 2022 crossovers, which is one of the most talked about versions, probably the most reported, that the SEC might do. It's the cleanest, it's the easiest, and it takes the SEC sort of out of the conspiracy theories, not completely because it's life today, but they're predetermined, sites determined, you get a home and away, so it kind of takes them a little bit off the hook, and it's easy to do, just add those two games. And Fulmer was asked about that, and he mentioned that he thought that was a possibility, but he thought a bigger role in the decision-making would probably be the strength of schedule. He thought that would play a bigger role than the crossover opponent. So I thought that was interesting. Look, do guys have opinions on things that don't play out? Sure. So take it for what it's worth. But I thought that was an interesting little nugget or hint, if it was that, that maybe we are headed towards a strength of schedule model. And look, that's not going to make everybody happy too. You can act like you're going to give the toughest games to the teams that have the lightest current opponents, but your only basis is the strength of the record, the win percentage of what those teams did last year. And it's never going to be identical with coaching changes, loss of talent. I mean, you're not going to judge LSU as a 15-0 team. And then some teams are just going to get better as well. So it's going to be inexact as well. People are going to be mad one way or the other. But I think those are the two biggest models, and that was what Fulmer said about that I thought was noteworthy. But there were other things as well.
Vince Ferrara is with us from WNML over in Knoxville. Vince, thank you for watching the broadcast, even though it did not turn out well for the Predators in terms of the result. Hopefully better things in game two. But you actually checked in with the other bubble in the NBA and talked to Kyle Alexander from the Miami Heat. What kind of perspective did you get there?
Well, I got a chance to interview him a lot when he was at Tennessee doing those Vol Network basketball pregame interviews before every game. So I got a chance to talk to him a lot. And then there was all the postgame interviews as well. And you could tell that he has matured some. Not that he was immature at Tennessee, but he just sounded like he was in a really good place, like he was happy, like he had more confidence in himself as a basketball player and in his game. That's something that Rick Barnes would talk about all the time. He doesn't know how good he can be. He started playing basketball probably 10 years later than what a lot of kids did, 8 to 10 years later than what a lot of kids did. So he is a little bit more raw. But, we brought up a compliment that Pat Riley had about him and said that he is the protocol for a big in today's NBA. And he said, yeah, I saw that. He said, my dad actually sent me that article. And he said, it's just such an honor to have someone of that stature in the NBA, say anything about me, especially like that. So he's worked on his game. He's worked on his jump shot. I asked him about the G League, and he was like, oh, man, it was amazing because, I got a chance to work. I know I'm raw, but I know I've made big improvements. He talked about how the bubble, is fine. No complaints at all. He said it's kind of like college in some ways. It's like being in the dorms or in housing, only it's on a higher level. Gets a chance to see some of the other former balls that are in the bubble, like Grant Williams. He said was 3 floors up from him, and they're in the same hotel. Saw Admiral Schofield some. Just sounded like he's not in Miami's current rotation, but he's with them there in the bubble. And I think he's part of their future as such an athletic big that wants to work and get better. So, he said he took up piano and during the quarantine, and just a really good kid that's come into his own as a basketball player. and that was cool.
He's going to have some stories to tell someday about this whole experience,
yeah,
without a doubt. Trent Dilfer is a guy that obviously has a great eye for quarterbacks. We have picked his brain so many times over the years about what he does. Give us your take for what he told you about the Vols' commitment at quarterback, Caden Salter.
He was really impressed by Salter, and he said that he is very coachable. He thinks he has got it all, is how he phrased it. And he says he's a guy that can really run around, throws well on the run, processes things well. And he said he is a thrower first that can run and make plays. And he just talked about how important that is to put defenses in a bind, and it also clarifies coverages for you. And he's one that he thinks he also that he thinks he's going to be able to really make the adjustment to college well. He also pointed out, I thought this was interesting, he said he didn't realize he had the type of body when he actually saw him in person versus on tape that he can put on 25 good pounds to his frame to help him take some of the punishment that you get on the college level. And he thought that was a huge plus as well for him, because he can give you the zone read looks and the design runs at times, or just make plays, but he could put on that weight to help him sustain some of that. Very high on Caden Salter. And I think Tennessee fans listen to that interview, be pretty excited about what they've gotten. And it wouldn't surprise me if his rating, because he's done so well on that Elite 11 circuit, more and more people are recognizing him, like Trent Dilfer is so knowledgeable. It wouldn't surprise me if his rating continues to go up during the process until we get to the first signing day.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML, up in Knoxville. And something that obviously we've been talking about on this show and keeping up with in the NFL, just the amount of players that are opting out, that are moving to the COVID-19 list. So just what are some of your thoughts on that, of what that could mean for the NFL season, of having some of these starters and depth players that aren't going to be available for these teams?
Well, it's concerning. I think it's 81 or 82 at last count, and it's a constant fluid situation that had been put on the COVID-19 list. Through yesterday, 9 of them had returned to the active rosters for different teams around the league. So there's a path back. It's not a guarantee that they have COVID-19, that they've tested positive. Either they have, or they've come in close contact with someone that had it and they had to be quarantined. So it's a different time on it than others. Nigel Warrior was the first one from the University of Tennessee that was put on it. And just a few days ago, Justin Coleman from the Lions, cornerback, was put on it. The Detroit Times Free Press said that he actually had it, but he was feeling fine, didn't really have any symptoms or anything. So that's good. But, it's something that, the NFL's got to carefully manage and work their way through. The opt-outs obviously have been there as well. And there's like 41, I think, something like that in terms of opt-outs. So I think there's a correlation there. Guys get inside, they see how it works, and they're like, whoa, this is not for me. This is too risky for me. And others are like, hey, let's go. So everybody has their own decision to make. It's clearly taken away some starters around the league, and teams are going to have to adjust. But, already we were going to get a little bit lesser product, I think, early in the year. And then you start taking enough key players out of the mix one way or the other, either permanently for the year or in a temporary COVID reserve list. It's probably going to drop the overall quality before long.
Obviously, you're in a college football market, and that's got to be a lot of the talk in your area. But when you look at the NFL, do you think they start on time?
gosh, I give it a better shot, you know, than for them to get through it than college football. There's a lot more complications in college football. They have more frequent testing in the NFL, even though there's not any sort of current bubble. I obviously, you can't do a league-wide bubble now. It's way too late for that. But I wonder if it gets bad if the NFL adjusts to some sort of, you know, maybe mini bubbles or bubbles within your own team until you absolutely have to travel to go take on an opponent on the road. So I think the NFL has the resources to adjust to it. I don't know about a percentage, but I do give it a better shot for them to figure out a way, because of the frequency of the testing and the monetary resources they have, for it, them to get it. So I would say yes, I do think it would start, you know, it would start on time, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they do push it back. They set up the schedule for that flexibility, so I think they'll get through it. Starting on time might be a little bit more iffy, Chase.
What did you think about the news that came out today, being a wrestling fan, of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and his investment group buying the XFL, trying to keep it going?
You know what? I've been a little bit out of pocket in the gym and doing a couple other things, so I hadn't seen that. It is interesting. You know, he's such a star, and whatever he does, I think people are going to run back into it. Maybe he has so many friends that were in that league in some form or fashion, management, players, who knows. You know, if we get an off-season league that it gives guys an opportunity to work on their game and get better, then I'm fine with it. I don't know how successful it'll be. Can you do a third version? It certainly, the second one wasn't anything they did. More power to it. I'm good if he's able to pull it off, for sure.
Did you have a good birthday over the weekend?
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I hit my favorite steak place here in Knoxville, Ye Olde Steakhouse, and had a little bit of cake and got a lot done this weekend, work, but it, a lot of sports as well. So it was good. It was good. One quick thing I did want to mention, when we're talking about Philip Fulmer, he talked about the fans, and he was asked about the capacity in Neyland Stadium, and he said it's fair. He was asked by Jimmy, is it fair to say you won't be at 100% capacity? He said, oh, yeah, that's fair to say. He said,
really?
He's hoping for 50%.
50%? I mean, geez.
Yeah, but he said that it could. He's hopeful that it could be 50%, but it could very well be, you know, a 20, 25% like you've seen people in other places talk about. Now, 50% of Neyland Stadium, that's still 50-plus thousand. It's spread out as big as it is. I still think for you to a realistic number, if they do get to fans, is probably in the 20-30% range. But right now, just hoping to get to the games at all at this point. But he did say that the 100%, pretty much you can rule it out. It's fair to say that ship has sailed. But they're still trying to be hopeful. He also said they didn't know about the ball walk and tailgating and things like that. They're still trying to talk some of those things through in terms of health and safety. And, you know, they're also going to be connected to what the health and safety and government officials are telling them. That's why one of the reasons why college is so much more in a dicey situation, because if this gets worse and not better, then it's probably going to take it out of their hands. In addition to, even if it is in their hands, if they don't have a higher threshold for testing and keeping guys away from bad situations, I think it could be really dicey for them. I hope that their protocols shields, like LSU had a face mask shield that they displayed late last week. Tennessee has this technology for contact tracing. You know, those are all things that hopefully can help. But decision making of players, when you start to get some kids back on campus, that's going to play a big role in this. So it's still very, very treacherous waters right now for college football.
I'm not sure the 100% capacity ship ever got fueled up. I don't think they ever put gas in that ship. So I don't know. Since March, I mean, who thinks we're even – I mean, good Lord.
I
didn't even know that was a discussion piece in anything, 100% capacity.
And the reason why I think he was asked for it and he needed to comment on it, because really the last time he talked, and it was also in an interview on our station, he trotted it out there that they were still hopeful. Now, at that point, we weren't in the spike up in cases around the country that we are now, just to be fair. But even then, it seemed like a real long shot. He was trying to be hopeful during that period where it was getting better. So that's why it was relevant to him. So, you know, just on that point. But you're right. Whether you put gas in the boat or not, it was still docked.
Yeah, it was. It's been at the dock, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That ship never left the dock, no doubt. Vince, good stuff. Glad you had a great birthday. Happy birthday. And you have a great week.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. And if you go to 991thesportsanimal.com, go to the blog section. Had a big layout on those two models for the SEC scheduling. See what you think of those. So always great to be on with you, and keep up the great work. Will, appreciate you.
Are you guys are you operating like RG3? Are you accepting birthday gifts? He was accepting wedding gifts when he was with the Redskins. People could do that as well.
It doesn't expire until next year. So
there you go.
Feel free.
There you go. You can send Vince a birthday gift. Vince Ferrara, at Vince Sports on Twitter. He is with the sports animal WNML there in Knoxville, and he joins us every Monday at noon. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. Carolina is starting to pull away in the second period over the Rangers. We'll tell you about that and more. ESPN 102.5, the game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. You can check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to help out the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com. As I said when I said figuratively, if you could take one back after watching any series this weekend, if you could take back our predictions on Friday, I immediately led off with, I watched Carolina and the New York Rangers in Game 1 and realized I'm on the wrong side. I've picked the wrong team. Willie and Chase took Carolina. I took the Rangers. I feel even stronger about saying that 2 hours ago because Carolina has now upped their lead to 3-1.
You're doubling down on that?
They're just the better team. And I realized that just watching Game 1, I was like, yep, I picked the wrong team. Carolina's the better team. And that's nothing's changed. And now I'm watching this and there's about 5 minutes to go in the second period. Svechnikov has two goals for the Hurricanes, including his second one was a power play goal. And the Hurricanes are just better than the Rangers, and they're going to win the series. And at this point, what I see, it looks like a sweep. I mean, they're just the better team. So I would like to, if you guys will let me change it, I did say it before this Game 2 started, I'll put Carolina as my official pick if you guys will allow that.
I will propose this. That if you want to change, we all get one change on a series after one game.
Okay, I'm up for that because you know I said it before this game too. I said this back in the first hour before this game even started.
What
I said,
"What are we talking about? Are you got to be kidding me? We don't change predictions.
Come on, what are you talking about?
You don't change predictions.
You've never had a mulligan in golf? Come on,
no.
You've never taken a second tee shot and counted it?
Stick with your guns.
You're not
stick
answering the question. Guns. Have you ever taken a second tee shot and counted it?
Of course I have.
I've taken some.
Of course I have.
Why is this any different?
That's not how this works. That's not how this works.
But I said it. I said I identified that I was on the wrong side. So don't I get that? No?
But it's not over. The Rangers could come back.
It's over. No, it's over. Carolina is the better team. They're just the better team. You guys were on the right side. I was on the wrong side.
Hey, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
Germans?
I'm just going to tell you guys, I am not taking any mulligans. I'm sticking with my picks, right or wrong.
Well, I got to be honest. You're this is what I know is for you to just come out and say you know that, that was a twist and a turn I did not see coming. If you hit that, the only thing I'm going to be disappointed is that you didn't capitalize on that with your wallet. Because that's a heck of a prediction to say, I know that's going to happen.
I feel good about it.
Okay. I'm glad you do. I hope you're right. And by the way, that 0-2 hole will not be the Rangers. Okay, so you can cross that one off the list. That's not happening.
Well, Carolina looks good. Chase and I picked Carolina. You did not. But that will be a candidate, perhaps, for the 2-0 here, because they do have a good stranglehold on this game, it appears. But it's not over yet.
Nothing is over.
You'll need to find another series. It won't be this one. Like I said, I congratulated you guys in the first hour on that pick because I knew I was on the wrong side.
Yep.
Willie
was pretty definitive on it.
Yeah, you actually.
Anyway, and well, I was too.
I thought both of you were.
Carolina overall.
Willie definitely was.
The last couple of years has been an underrated team. If all they've got to do is get good goaltending, the rest of the team is elite, I think.
Peter Mrazek has
played well.
Well, I mean, last year they were in the Eastern Conference Final.
Sure.
So, they're scrappy. They're fun. I mean, they're definitely, and that's one thing that I've enjoyed watching this game and then the game the other day. I mean, you appreciate their style because they're just scrappy. I mean, on paper, you look at them and go, okay, not that great. But, yeah, they have the mantra and the attitude that I think the Predators of 3-4 years ago had. When they made their run, and I think that takes you a long way. I mean, obviously you have to have some skill and some good players, but it's that mentality of and I think that some of that is what Arizona had yesterday of nobody gives us a chance, nobody thinks we're any good. Okay, fine, we don't care.
But I think the difference though is Carolina has really really good players that people don't know about. Like Sebastian Aho is a great player. But I just don't think people watch him very much. He is really, really good. And they have defensemen that are kind of no names. Jacob Slavin, does a casual fan have any idea anything about Jacob Slavin? He's one of the best defensemen in the game. He's just not a flashy guy that's going to score a lot, but he's an example. Their team is full of guys like that. A lot of no name guys that are really, really good.
I'll tell you another guy that they have, and this goes along the lines of what we were talking about earlier, of that leadership quality, they have Justin Williams. And what happened? He didn't start the season with them. He rejoined because
he went out of the Mike Fisher book.
Yes, he did. But I think he's made a difference just being back in the room because of his leadership style, and he's one of those guys that if things get down, it's a he looks at you or he says something, and it's like, okay, all right, yep, you're right. And he gets everybody on the same page. I think he is one of those guys.
One thing we did fail to mention with the Mike Fisher thing that helps with the leadership part is when you own a cannon, you automatically get the respect. You know, people it's just a different level of respect. When you know that person can go out in their backyard and shoot a cannon, it's just a different level of respect. I don't think Justin Williams
did
can
they,
say that.
I was wondering, did they do any kind of firing of a cannon last night when Columbus scored? Did they have a cannon?
Oh.
You know what?
I don't think they have a cannon.
I wonder if they have the effect.
Did they do the effect?
The sound of a cannon. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they didn't bring the cannon up there. But.
I would be ticked. If I was in Toronto in that arena, I would be ticked that they actually were able to get the sound effect into it.
Well, like, and
you're thinking, man, we're not in Columbus, so I don't have to listen to that damn cannon go off. But I don't know. Now that you say that, I don't remember. I don't know if I was watching when Columbus did their scoring.
I wasn't. And so I'm not sure. But I will say this, because this brings up a nitpick type point for me. We talked about this on Facebook Live with Justin Bradford and Jeremy Gover.
Their goals were in the third period, right? So I don't think I was watching. I watched more of the first half of the game. I didn't watch much of the second half of the game. I got pulled away, so I didn't see the goals.
But a nitpick thing for me, I think the NHL has done a tremendous job with putting the sponsorships on the dashboard for the home team, having the goal songs and all that. But I don't like that the visiting team also has the goal song.
I was wondering that, because Toronto was the home team, but they have been playing the celebrations for all teams.
We're getting a texter saying that they had it.
Really?
Okay.
That they had the effect. But
I'm
see,
not surprised.
I don't like I didn't like hearing Howlin' for You for Arizona, because they're the visiting team. Just have the home goals, the home goal songs. That's my only nitpick.
Really. There's no home. There's really no home. I mean, I know there is, but there isn't. I mean, I know it helps out the benches, and I get it. There is a team that is the home team and a team that is the visiting team, but you're playing in a neutral side in an empty arena. I mean,
but if you're gonna if you're going to try your best, which is what they've done to create the, and I know you're not going to truly create home ice. I don't know. It's a nitpicky thing for me.
I don't have a problem with that.
Gover is on the same page, but you know, I understand. I give them full marks because they've done a tremendous job with setting it all up. I thought it was cool having Paul McCann's voice of Fang Fingers and the power play song, and they had the video of the fans doing the "You Suck" chant. You know, that was all really cool that they've put all that in place. So
you just want them to do it for one team and not the other?
For the home team.
I know, but it's – I don't know. I don't have an issue at whatsoever with that. I mean, it's just
– to each their own.
It's nobody's really a home team.
I understand that. But
you're just trying to create an atmosphere, and an atmosphere for both teams, because that's what it feels like, because they're just playing in an empty arena. So I don't have an issue with it.
I did laugh, though, in Edmonton. I saw this circulating on Twitter. They put up the picture of tonight's attendance, and it was a giant zero.
Yeah,
I laughed at that.
That was good.
I did
that
see
was
that.
Funny.
The goose egg.
The announced attendance, zero.
Yep.
That was pretty good. All right, we'll come back, and we'll talk, by the way, we'll talk with Stu Grimson to start the fourth and final hour with NHL Network, former Predator and, of course, former broadcast partner of Willie. We'll talk with Stu at 1. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. I saw where NASCAR had fans back in the stands over the weekend. I didn't see the number. It looked like a pretty sizable number, as in more than, well, some of the tracks they've let like 5,000 in. What was the official count? Where was it, New Hampshire?
Yeah, it was New Hampshire. I actually have not seen the number either. I've been looking for it, and I haven't seen it come out yet. But it looked like a pretty good...
Right.
Pretty good crowd on TV.
I know it's not a huge track, right?
No, it's a mile. They call it the Magic Mile.
But, I mean, the stands, I mean, I don't know what's capacity.
Let's
what
see.
Was it 40, 50,000 maybe?
Somewhere in there, I think.
But it looked like a pretty decent amount in there. So I was curious to know how much they let in there.
I think it's cool that NASCAR is slowly 76,000 is their capacity.
Is capacity?
Yeah.
Huh. Did they let what? Do you think they let like 30,000 in there?
That's what I would say. It looked
like. Yeah, felt like.
But I'm trying to find that. I just haven't seen the info released. So I'm looking for it. I have been looking for it, but I don't know if they've gotten the official number or if they plan. You know, they've. They've been cautious in that. They've been saying, hey, this is what we're going to allow, and then they just kind of leave it at that. I know Bristol, I think it was 25. They had released 30, and they got 25. So 25 to 30 is my guess.
Well, yeah, but that holds 160,000.
Sure, so it's different.
That was you know, 20 to 25,000 in New Hampshire looks totally different than Bristol. And I suspect it felt like there were about 30,000 people there. I mean, it.
Yeah, and the latest is Darlington's looking at, because, you know, Darlington's going to have a third race. They're going to have the traditional Southern 500 on Labor Day weekend, and there's a chance that they could have some fans. So it could, their governor has put an executive order in place that could clear the way for having fans at the throwback weekend for the Southern 500. So it's cool to see NASCAR at where they are allowed, they're allowing some fans in, because it is the weirdest part is when a driver gets out in victory lane to celebrate and you hear silence. It's just that's been the weirdest part of it, but pretty cool to see some fans back at New Hampshire yesterday.
Well, when Vince was talking about, Vince Ferrara was talking about Phil Fulmer being on their afternoon show on the Sports Animal last week and being asked by Jimmy Himes about, can you just go on and roll out 100% and then, you know, 50% capacity gets thrown out there. I mean, I'll be honest, the first thing I thought of, if there's college football games with 50% capacity, then are we not talking about having concerts and stuff? I mean, can't you start having that stuff, putting on shows? I mean, if college football games are going to have 50% capacity, if you're talking about 50,000 people at Neyland Stadium, I mean, can't we be talking about concerts starting back up?
In the same format? In the same size venue?
Well, I mean, just...
It would have to be, right?
50% capacity concerts?
Yeah, but you have to... But I think, and Willie, tell me if I'm wrong of what you mean, but football games are all outdoors, so and that factors in. I mean, if you're talking about concerts at an arena,
that's a factor.
I don't know about that.
It's, you know, if everybody wears a mask and everybody is distanced and you're outside, that's different than if everybody's inside.
Can you do it at Ascend?
Sure. I would think so.
I think a certain number, if you did it right and everybody wore the mask, I think there would be a certain number. Like, I heard a discussion going on during a Major League Baseball game broadcast where they said, I think some teams are doing this, like, they let one person in, right? The fan of the game can come in and watch the game. Like, they let the grounds crew sit in the stands, just so there's a couple people there. And so they were saying, like, if you can have one, you can have two. And if you can have two, you can have four, right? So what's the number? Like, realistically, if you're really being careful, you could scatter a certain amount of people around a ballpark and nobody's near anybody, right?
Yes.
So the question is how many, and are they – you have to be a stickler for the rules. That's what nobody's. That's what a lot of people have been lax on. The restaurants, especially, right? Oh, well, we say you have to wear a mask, but are we checking everybody? Is everybody doing it? You know, there's a lot of fluctuation that happens.
I will throw this out because this came out earlier about we were just talking about Bristol a few weeks ago when they had the All-Star race. They a little more than 20,000 is what they're saying, according to officials. No local COVID-19 clusters identified after the All-Star race. I think that's a very important statistic to look at. And I know none of this is perfect, but with contact tracing and all of that they've been trying to do, they have looked at it and said that as of Friday, no cases in the area have been linked to the race event, according to public health leaders in both Tennessee and Virginia. So that's big. That's an important stat to look at when it comes to putting all these events together and letting some fans back in. If you're not seeing a spike or an increase in cases and positive tests after it, and that means that you're on the right track of having the protocols in place and, you know, keeping people from spreading this.
I mean, couldn't golf go in that direction? I mean, they just had FedEx in Memphis. I mean, can they not go that direction? I mean, golf courses, these courses are huge. Can they have people safe distances, wear a mask? I know they don't have seats per
se. If everybody executed it, the question is, are this is the problem I think we're having with a lot of things, right? You can set the rules and the guidelines and even the mandate, you have to wear a mask. But unless somebody is enforcing it or every single person is on the honor system and spot on with their discipline, what tends to happen is people ignore the rules. right? That's what everybody's afraid of, right? Golf, you got this vast area. If you had a lot of people, who you can't have somebody at every, well, maybe you could, I guess, have somebody at every hole.
Sure.
At least around the green or on the tee saying, hey, you, get the mask on. You know, or you, I guess, but wouldn't that perhaps disrupt what's going on with the golfers and stuff? I don't know.
Yes. During a putt, you can't say, hey, you, get your mask on during a putt. Yes.
Get in the hole.
In the backswing. Yeah.
But, I mean, nobody really wants to have that job, right?
Sure.
That would not be a real fun job to go around and say, you, mask. Like Joe Girardi, you know, he was frustrated. He was expressing his frustration, right, with the baseball and all the games that have been moved and postponed and pushed back. And now there's another outbreak over here. And he said he lost it on somebody in the elevator. He said a guy tried to get on the elevator and without a mask, and he said, no, sir, you're not getting on this elevator.
And what happened?
The guy backed off.
Okay.
He got out. But that's what has to happen. It's the only way we're going to get anywhere is somebody, right. Either A, the people that haven't been wearing masks have to get with the program, and then B, there has to be somebody out there being the bad guy that says, no, you cannot come in here. You cannot come into this game. You cannot come into this elevator. You cannot come into this restaurant unless you have the mask.
Well, and what
plain
has to
and
change?
Simple.
And I did just pull this up. So the PGA did announce, I guess it was middle of July, that they would not have spectators the rest of the year. I understand they can change their mind on that. That's something we've seen, that you have to be willing to adapt and change as you have more information. But you bring up the mask policies. I've been in places where I've seen it both ways, where you go up to the door and hanging on the door is you must wear a mask to enter this building, enter this facility. And I've seen just a sign where you get in and nobody has a mask on because they're not enforcing it. And I've seen where I had this happen when I was on vacation, walked a lot of places, didn't drive. And I tend to keep a mask in my pocket and one in my car. And I had changed clothes and I got to the place and I go, oh crap, I forgot I don't have my mask. And I walked in and I was able to buy one for a dollar, add it to my bill and put it on, no harm, no foul. But so I'm seeing that, which I think is good. But you see some places that just they hang the sign on the door for CYA because they have to,
right.
And then they don't enforce it.
I'll give you an example in Birmingham, our baseball tournament that was taking place at the Hoover Met. They had signs everywhere. Masks must be worn beyond this point. And a lot of people did wear the mask, but not everybody, right? And I didn't see anybody walking around going, sir, ma'am.
Are you talking about at the tournament?
I'm talking about at the tournament, yeah.
Interesting. We've not played in a tournament where it was mask mandatory. Yep.
And
no, really?
I don't think they really... I just don't know how much it was just a personnel. They didn't have enough personnel to have somebody hired to walk around and say, please wear a mask. You know, can you put that on? Can you spread out? But that's what it takes. I have been to a park, and it was in Nashville. And I'll give them credit. It was the WNSL, the West Nashville Sports League. They have a lot of sports, guys, girls, boys. You know, they have a lot of ages, right? This was a teenage night. There were games going on in several parks. And the PA announcer was saying, listen, I see people out there, and he didn't call anybody out individually, but he said, I see people too close together. Parents, please, spread apart. Players in the dugout, only three in the dugout. You know, I admired that because he was sticking to, he was like, if we want to play, this is what we have to do. If Metro Parks comes in here, they could shut us down if we're doing this. That's what it takes. I'm sure the guy didn't enjoy having to make that thing. He probably just wanted to say, listen, let's have fun at the park and let everybody do whatever they want. But I admire that he did that. Not every tournament has done that. That's for sure. But back to our regular point. That comes back to the point. If we want to have spectators, this is what has to be done. It's the only way.
Yeah,
I know baseball.
Somebody has to be the bad
guy. They have to field games right now, but I mean, I don't know why they're not talking about. I mean, you've got these baseball parks hold at least 40,000 people. I mean, you can't put 10,000 people in there in a 40,000 seat ballpark.
Baseball, they need to solve the other problem first.
I get it, but I'm surprised that they're not talking about that. I mean,
you could get there. Well, you can't NASCAR talk about it, Darren, until you have the games that are scheduled being played. I mean, they got to cross that bridge first.
Yeah, well, and I think we got to get past the point of arguing over it. Right now, the best course of action is wear the mask. So it's okay, if you don't like it and you don't think it's effective, then stay home then. Then just stay in your house. That's kind of how I feel. I mean, I went and met a friend yesterday, watched some of the Preds game, and it was no big deal. People would walk in, have their mask on, sit at their table, take it off. Got up to go to the bathroom, put the mask on.
Put it back on.
Boom.
Yep.
Okay, it's routine now.
It's not that hard. All right, we will come back and talk some hockey with Stu Grimson. Hurricanes lead the Rangers 3-1. They are in the second period intermission. Hurricanes with the 1-0 series lead, trying to take game two and a commanding lead in their five-game series. We'll talk with Stu to kick off the fourth and final hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.